All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're continuing to focus on the resource and precious metals sector as we are now chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, I know everyone wants to hear your updated thoughts on the metals, including silver. So we're going to get to silver, but first, when it comes to gold, look, this week was really boring for the gold market. Gold didn't really do much. The stocks, again, they didn't really do much either. And now that we are in July here, I guess the forecast for you, what are you thinking, Doc? Where does gold go from here? Because quite frankly, that month of June was really bad for the gold sector, down maybe $150. Where does gold go from here, Doc?
Well, May was great and everybody was hoping, and then June dashed the hopes. But I think July is going to be a boring month. I think we could have a little pressure for a week yet here, maybe a week and a half, and then we might move up a little bit, but don't expect any big rally here. We may end the month higher than June, but it shouldn't be fantastic. Now, what I'm finding interesting is on the monthly chart, if you look at the monthly chart, we have not had a closing month below the 20-month moving average of the Bollinger Bands, and that's positive. And we're sitting right on it right now in July already. The question is, are we going to stay above it on every month after now? And if we do, then we're moving into a bullish phase that's going to keep moving higher. However, if we close below that 20-month moving average in July or even in August or September, then we're going to be settling into a sideways pattern for quite a while. We could even go lower, a little lower. But that's not necessarily a negative, because I think we're still set up going forward eventually to have a real significant move in the gold market. But if we close below the 20-month, people are going to have to be patient for some time.
So, Doc, what's your time frame then of when we could get another big move higher, let's say, in the gold market? Because right now, if you take a look at the shorter-term charts, we've been in a 10-month correction with lower highs pretty consistently. And that last high, even after that 2-month rebound in gold, was another lower high. So short-term, the downtrend is still there. Long-term, uptrend is still intact. But when could we get that next leg higher?
If you want to talk about a big leg higher that we take out the highs in August, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait until at least 2022, because I think we have to work a little bit lower in the MACD. But the thing in the MACD is, if you go back to 2011, 2012, when the MACD moved down and the gold market moved down for some time, we took out neutral or the zero area, and we wallowed under it for a number of months. Well, this time, I think when we move down in the MACD, we do not take out the zero. I don't think we go below it. I think we bottom out at the zero or a little bit above it, potentially, to consolidate for the next big move. And so I think that's going to it's going to take us until 2022 to get down into that frame of reference where I think we really start to move higher to really take out this so-called double top. And some people talk about the cup and handle, where we take out the right side of the handle. So I think we're going to have to wait until 2022 at least.
Well, Doc, it's interesting you bring up those chart patterns, the larger ones, the cup and handle and the potential double top. We hear a lot of technicians and a lot of generalists referencing these different patterns saying, hey, it looks like a double top. It's down from here. They're very bearish. Other people, hey, it's a cup and handle. It's a long-term bullish trend. It's going to go to the moon. When you're looking at these longer term patterns, not the daily noise and not even the weekly, but when you're looking at these monthly patterns, What gives you the confidence that regardless of whether we pull back for a month or two and then go up, or whether we pull back, you know, and kind of channel sideways the rest of the year and then go up next year, what gives you the confidence that we're still in a longer term bull trend and that eventually the next move higher could be that big move where we finally do break out on the longer term charts? What gives you that feeling that, or that data that we're going to get there one day?
Well, I've looked at long-term charts for a long time in various asset classes, and I kind of studied those because I'm an investor and I'm a trend watcher. And like you said, I don't like to watch noise, the ups and downs, because I am not a day trader. So I'd like to position myself for those big moves. And the thing is, what tells me is, number one, back in 2011 and 12, when we went underneath that zero point that I talk about, often you'll see in asset classes and long-term charts that the next time you move up and you move down, it doesn't go as deep in the move. And the other thing that tells me that is, if you look at the strength indicators, they are not moving down much at all. That tells you there's underlying strength in this market that people aren't realizing, and that's another positive. And the other thing I'm watching is the 200-month moving average, which back in 2011 and 12, we separated from that considerably, and we did not start moving up until that 200-month moving average got close to pricing. Well, we're about to move higher and higher with that. And as we move up over the next few months with that, that's going to be a very significant support area. And if we get close to that, I think that's another thing that's going to propel us higher.
All right, Doc, let's also talk about silver, because silver, curiously enough, has been really boring. Actually, a range-bound trade in the last 10 months. As gold has corrected, silver has stayed within this about $9 range, let's say about $21 up to $30. And, it's actually put in higher lows pretty consistently here throughout this 10-month period. Some mixed highs in there, but why, in your eyes, is silver a lot more boring than gold when typically it is the more volatile and more exciting out of the two of those precious metals?
Well, I think silver's starting to act like a commodity more than a precious metal right now. And, you know, you're seeing pullbacks on copper. You're starting to see the commodity market get broken here a little bit. Look at timber or lumber. Lumber is just getting crushed right now. And I think we're just pulling back on some of these commodities for a while. Because we're starting, we see the beginnings of a long-term commodity bull market, I believe. And so I think silver is acting more like a commodity now than it is a precious metal, and that's why you're seeing it. And if you look at the monthly chart, it's pulled away from the upper Bollinger band, and I think we're going to move sideways to a little bit down for silver, but I don't think silver is going to get crushed here. But we could trade within the 20 to 25 range for some time. But it's acting more like a commodity, I think. And so when we start to see the other commodities get their second leg higher, I think silver will move with it as a commodity.
Well, Doc, that's an interesting point on silver acting more like a commodity, that kind of that base metal factor it has, industrial metal versus the precious metal side of it. But longer term, you know, if we look at longer term charts, which you're a fan of, generally, silver will track gold over long periods of time. And so if gold is selling off, you know, I would have expected silver just to get smashed in this recent pullback in gold along with it, but it hasn't. But in the commodity sector, there's been a lot of cross currents. There's the inflation argument. There's the reopening trade. There's the China, you know, buying and stockpiling minerals. And then right now, China is dumping them back on the market, which is pressuring the price. Do you think there's going to be a point where silver decouples again from its link to commodities and eventually acts more like a precious metal? And will it be the move higher in gold that finally wakes it up in that sense?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you can't, when gold gets going, silver just doesn't sit still. In fact, silver will often lead. silver's got something really good going for it right now, since it has that dual purpose of commodity and precious metal, because we know all about the money printing that we're seeing, and that's not going to stop. And we know that ultimately that that's that monetary base that keeps increasing, eventually we're going to have to see velocity. And when we see that, gold is going to have, I think, the big run everybody's waiting for. And silver is just going to move right along with gold. Plus, it's got that commodity impact. And I think we're going to see all commodities do well in the future. So silver, I love the way silver is acting, frankly. But it will move when gold does as well. And it'll move really, I think, in a very bullish way this next time.
Doc, let's talk about the stocks then, either gold or silver stocks or any other resource stocks. One of my biggest takeaways outside of, let's say, money printing or that inflation argument is the fact that companies, gold companies, silver companies, explorers up to the majors, they are well cashed up. I haven't seen an environment like this where the companies have this much money really since the maybe peak of the last market. But this is a very different environment where gold has trended down for 10 months and we still have seen a ton of financings and a lot of companies that I think have some good work plans. So that's encouraging for me. But again, when it comes to the stocks for you, where are you looking? What are you liking? Are you buying right now?
Yeah, I bought a little bit for the first time in a long time this past week. I started to dip and I started to purchase stocks that I had sold a while back. For instance, Yamana, where I had a really nice profit a number of months ago, and where Yamana is starting to come back. I'm looking at, I bought a little bit of IM Gold again. What I'm watching on those are their relationships to the Bollinger Bands on the monthly chart. I just love it when they approach their long-term Bollinger Bands, the lower one, because I keep nibbling every time these stocks get down to it. I've been starting to purchase again on this pullback, and I think we might have a week, like I said, week or a week and a half yet down, hanging down here, and I think we get a rally again, but it's not going to go to the moon. We're going to be in this channel, but every time I encourage people, every time we move down like this, purchase a little bit, because you won't regret it in the future. But that's what I've been doing, Corey, because so many of these are starting to approach their lower Bollinger Bands on the monthly chart, which are great support. And that's when I purchase a little bit again.
Care to share any names with us, Doc? What's top of your list, or what are you liking right now, please?
I'm buying about everything that explores, mid-tiers. I don't buy a lot of the big boys like Newmont and those type of stocks. I like the mid-tiers. I like the ones that show potential of expanding their production. And one that I own that has gotten crushed later, and I've held it for a long time, is Equinox. And, with that blocking of their mine in Mexico, that didn't do us any favor. But I think they'll solve that problem. And I'll be adding to Equinox on this pullback. I just keep purchasing a little bit more. I like Sandstorm, and that's going to pull back. I like Nomad Royalty here. They pulled back a little bit. And I'm looking for Metallic finally, because I've been waiting to buy that. That stock, Metallo Royalty and Streaming, that's pulling back, and that's another one I'm waiting to take initial position in. But I think that it's further to fall, frankly, over the next few months. That's looking really technically problematic right now, Metallo Royalty and Streaming. I've been buying a lot of the explorers as well. And when they get technically in a range, I like. And that's what I've been doing.
Okay, Doc, great having you on the show. Thanks for wrapping up this first hour and sharing your thoughts on, well, where gold and silver are going, plus some of the stocks. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Be sure to check out our website, kereport.com. Listen to all the editorials and company updates that we did throughout the week. I hope everybody down in the U.S. has a very happy 4th of July. A great long weekend. We'll be back next week. More coverage on markets and metals and a lot of the companies that all of you guys are asking about and following along with. Everyone, thanks for your time. Doc, really appreciate it. Have a great long weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.